Pam Houston is the author of the memoir Deep Creek, Finding Hope in the High Country. In it, she delivers a profound meditation on how to live simultaneously inside the wonder and the grief, to love the damaged world, and to do what she can to help it thrive. On her 120-acre homestead high in the Colorado Rockies, Houston learned what it means to care for a piece of land and the creatures on it. Elk calves and bluebirds mark the changing seasons. Winter temperatures drop to 35 below, and lightning sparks a 110,000-acre wildfire, threatening her century-old barn and all of its inhabitants. Through her travels from the Gulf of Mexico to Alaska, she explores what ties her to the earth, the ranch, most of all. Alongside her devoted Irish wolfhounds and a spirited troop of horses, donkeys, and Icelandic sheep, the ranch becomes Houston's sanctuary, a place where she discovers how the natural world has mothered and healed her after a childhood of terrific parental abuse and neglect. Again, the name of the new book is Deep Creek, Finding Hope in the High Country. And as we mentioned, Pam is going to be coming to the Northshire Bookstore in Manchester Center, Vermont on February 24th. And it's a great pleasure to welcome Pam Houston to the roundtable. How are you?
I'm great. I can't hear you very well.
Well, that's okay. So that's good that you're great, but not good that you can't hear me. So we'll work on it on our end, and hopefully that will improve.
Okay, I can pretty much hear you, but it's very dim. It could be this hotel phone.
Also, be careful what you wish for, because once you actually do hear me, you'll probably be like, "Eh," but we'll work on it. We'll see how it goes.
Okay.
You know, those hotels spend a lot of money on those phones and their top quality equipment. Yes. Well, Deep Creek, Finding Hope in the High Country. You are out talking about this book. What is it like to have something so personal bound together, and then to talk about it in the fashion that you're talking about it?
Well, you know, it's making me a little shakier than I thought it would. You know, this is my sixth book, and I've been out on tour all my adult life, but there is something about memoir that's a little different. There's something about having written right at the difficulty in my family growing up, and then talking about it every night, and then going back to the hotel and laying there in the dark. It's been, I think overall the whole process of writing the book and kind of pairing the things that happened to me as a child with my love of the natural world was really a healing process, and seeing it all as a big arc and seeing how well nature parented me in the absence of other kinds of parenting. You know, I think overall it was a great experience, but going out and talking about it every night is, it's emotional, you know, that's the truth.
It is, and I would think it would be. We talk about this a lot in this show. Is it cathartic to write the book itself, to explore? I mean, obviously that has to be painful in and of itself to dredge up a lot of this. But is it cathartic, and is it helpful in getting it down and working through it in a narrative sense?
Well, I realized a couple of things in the course of writing it that I didn't know before I started. You know, when I started, I really wanted to write about the ranch. I wanted to honor my quarter century relationship to it and how it grew me up and how it made me an adult and how it was the first thing other than my dogs that I really felt responsible to, you know, in a big long-term way. But then, when my agent read the first draft, she said, you know, isn't this time for you to really talk about what happened to you as a child? My father broke my femur when I was 4. It was a pretty violent alcoholic household. And my first reaction was, God, have I done anything but? Because I see that stuff in all my books, you know, fiction or not. I always see it lurking around the edges. And she said, well, you haven't written directly at it. And then I became more and more aware over the last decade of writing this book of, you know, just the imminence of climate change and the impact it was going to have on us, and how, you know, wilderness on the earth is finite. And that was something I didn't know exactly 10 years ago. I thought, oh, well, there's some place up in Siberia or there's somewhere where it's still you know, inaccessible and wild. And the confluence of those three things, which is kind of what the book became in, you know, many drafts later, really showed me the relationship between the things, like the imperative to love the earth, even in its damaged state, you know, that we created. That's a hard truth, but it's something we have to, I think we have to be with. And then, you know, loving myself, being myself in spite of the damage that was inflicted on me as a young person. And I mean, those two things are so related, it's kind of unbelievable. I didn't see them, you know, until really when I started doing interviews for the book, you know, and it was like, oh yeah, those are the same things. So, so yes, it has been cathartic to put all those major pieces of my life together. And that was a really organic process in writing, because when I started, this book was going to be about, you know, hay and the pasture and the sheep and the bears and the seasons and the cold and really nothing else.
And it still is, but it has deeper meaning. So
right.
Do you still, can you love your family even in a damaged state?
Yeah, I do. I mean, even more so, both my parents are deceased and I don't have any siblings, but this book really was a kind of peacemaking, at least with my mother for sure. And she was the major figure in my life. And I gave her the last word. I gave her the last sentence in the whole book.
Yeah.
And that was kind of funny to me. You know, I don't ever write in a row. So I write pieces and then I move the pieces around. And when it became clear to me that she was going to get the last word, you know, it kind of made me hope for a heaven that she could look over the edge of and see that she had gotten the last word in my memoir, because that would please her. And that's a very loving feeling I have toward her, honestly. Like, it kind of makes me laugh. And in terms of my dad, I mean, that's a little more difficult, but I don't, someone asked me the other day it was a religious show, and they asked me if I had forgiveness for my parents. And I guess so. But it doesn't seem like forgiveness is the important thing. I mean, maybe I'm not religious enough, but it seems like, you know, acceptance is the important thing. And I do accept that they did their best. You know, I really do. And I'm not bitter in the least. And I honestly feel like, you know, they didn't want to be parents at all, but that's not the worst thing that can happen to anyone. You know, I teach writing and I hear these stories of trauma that make my trauma sound very suburban, you know, and common. And so for me, you know, they didn't want to be parents. I turned to the natural world for parenting. And it turned out the natural world was such you know, better parents, like the mountains and the rivers and the ranch and the seasons and the consistency of all of that, you know, was healing for me. And I got parented by the natural world first and then the ranch, you know, demanding that I shape up and then pay attention to it and take care of it and commit to it. All those things that parenting teaches you.
So as you said, you teach writing, and so I'd like to ask a diagnostic question about the writing, and that is, you earlier said that your editor said write a little bit more about what had happened to you, and you had felt that you had written much, you know, that it was on every page. So what did you do different to grapple and to write about it head on?
Well, when I thought it was on every page, what I meant was of my previous books. You know,
right,
I felt like
exactly.
I'd been writing in and around that. In this book, my parents weren't really present because I had tried so hard in the first draft to really stay in my adult life and stay on the ranch. So what I did is I went back. I mean, there are things about the ranch that I love so much. There's a chapter called The Sound of Horse Teeth on Hay in the Snow that's really about being snowed in for days and days, not having any contact with other people. and, you know, feeding the horses and having to dig my way to the barn, and then because of the wind having to dig my way back to the house, and just that whole experience of deep, deep snow and trying to keep animals alive. And, you know, I realized at the end of that essay, and this was in the first draft, that, you know, I love being snowed in because it means, like, nothing can come and get me, you know, that I'm there with my animals, we're taking care of each other, and nobody can get in, you know, and I don't mean that in a literal way. The county I live in is so safe, nobody locks their doors. But what I mean is, you know, like, there's that metaphor of my drunk father coming to hurt me, you know, and it was there on the page. I just didn't go that far. So it was about taking opportunities like that and expanding them, and then writing some scenes from childhood that made the safety of the ranch make sense, as you say, like in a deeper or broader way related to the safety I didn't feel in my childhood.
I don't know why this, I found this interesting in the book, and, I do know why I found it interesting, but I don't think anybody else would find it interesting. And that's the love you have for the dogs. I mean, I just found this interesting because of you wonder of with a strange relationship to love and caring that you had as a child growing up, of how that transfers to your love of your dogs especially, but animals in general and the earth that we all inhabit.
Well, yeah, I mean, animals are much more trustworthy in their love than humans are, you know, I mean, that's my experience of the world, and when I came out of my parents' house and into college and into my own life, you know, I was very distrustful of people, which, you know, is just obvious, and it was really the, you know, what I call in the book the gale force love of, you know, the gale force of love directed at me from my animals, from my dogs at first, because that's what I started with. And then, you know, and then my horses. And I mean, there's lessons to be learned even from the non-cuddly animals about love and consistency and power and all kinds of things. I have Icelandic sheep, and they're not cuddly, but I've learned from them. But it's really been my relationship with dogs in particular over the years that have given me the courage to open up myself to the love of people. There's no question about it. And so many other things. I mean, dogs have shown me how to die. They've shown me how to be with the dying. They've shown me how to love in the moment. I mean, all the great things dogs show you. But the consistency and purity of a dog's love for their caregiver, you know, when everything's going well, is in my opinion, one of the purest things on earth.
They seem to know the love that we need, right? I mean, they better than anyone can intuit what is missing in our lives and fill that bill.
They absolutely can. I mean, I say in the book that, you know, my dogs had a wider range of emotions than anyone I dated in my 20s, and, you know, that's on me. That's my bad.
You know? Well, not entirely on you, but go ahead.
But it's true, you know, I have Irish wolfhounds. They are particularly intelligent, sensitive dogs, I think. But, you know, dogs always know what you need, and there's no language to get in the way. You know, there's no language to get in that gap between you and the dog to qualify and hedge and feint and pretend everything's okay, or, you know, you're not hurt or whatever. It's all just, you know, it's all just laid bare.
Do you think there's something in the, and we're almost out of time, but I'm just curious about this. Is there something in the breed of an Irish wolfhound? Do you think that's different?
Well, I adore them. You know, I've had wonderful experiences with other dogs. I have dear friends who are as attached to their fill-in-the-blank breed as I am to my wolfhound. But I mean, wolfhounds are stoic. They're so consistent. They're calm. They're not needy. You know, they love to just lay at your feet and look at you and make sure you've got everything you need. And for me, I mean, emotionally, and for me, that's been the greatest healer of all. There's no question.
What more can you ask for? The new book is Deep Creek, Finding Hope in the High Country. Pam Houston, coming to North Shire Bookstore in Manchester Center, Vermont, February 24th. You can find out more at northshire.com. Pam, what a pleasure. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Again, the name of the book is Deep Creek. It's published by Norton. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.